You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Acra.
Hi, everyone. This is Atrevida, and welcome to this month's Conversations on a Tightrope. I have a special guest today, Pat LaManna. But first, I would like to share three audio clips from the March 23 Lobby Day for Reason and the March 24. The first audio clip speaks to the many people who say, why do you need to have a rally? What's the big deal? You don't have to believe in God in this country. Those comments come from people who are out of touch with the political and social consequences of being a secularist in the U.S. Amanda Knief, I believe that's the right way, comments on that and other misconceptions in her presentation on behalf of the Secular Coalition of America at the Hyatt Regency in D.C. on Lobby Day for Reason, March 23. She clearly explains why. And if you give me a moment, I just will play that clip. Amanda Knief, go right ahead.
Today we're going to talk about how we communicate about living as a non-theist in America. I just did a radio show, and he did not understand why there was a need for us to do a lobby day or have a rally. I see people golfing all the time on Sunday. What's the big deal? In God we trust on the money. Who cares? I'm like, yeah, what is the big deal? Why can't we just take it off? And he had no response. So we need to explain to people, you know, when you're in the majority, of course you don't see the problem. It's when you're in the minority and you have to face it every day and it's constant. That's the problem. This is not a Democrat Republican thing. The Secular Coalition does not endorse one party or another. We don't endorse candidates. We look at everybody. I did this thing in July where I went to a town hall meeting and President Obama was speaking. And then he said, I'm going to open it up for questions. And he goes, I'm going to go girl, boy, girl. And I jumped up and I put my hand up. And guess what? He called on me. And I said to President Obama, I'm an atheist. And he stopped smiling at me. And so did the people behind him and people behind me. And it sounds like he was on C-SPAN live. And somebody just told me they were airing it in Australia. And then I called him on the carpet to ask him about religious discrimination in hiring by faith-based organizations who receive federal dollars. He spent 3.5 minutes trying to figure out how to answer the question. And then he said, some people are happy with our work. And then he looked at me where I was going. He said, obviously you aren't. If I can tell the President of the United States on national, internationally televised television that I'm an atheist, anybody can. The Secular Coalition for America is about protecting everyone's religious liberty as the best way to make sure that our ability to be religion-free is protected. By having a secular government, not a non-theistic government, a secular government, everyone's rights to religious freedom are protected. Everyone can practice their religion or be free not to have religion. And that's really important. It's really important to talk about why an atheist, a non-theist, agnostic, freethinker, bright is difficult in a country that is a majority Christian. How many of you watch Rachel Maddow? Anybody catch it last night? God, I love you all. Welton Gaddy, Reverend Welton Gaddy, who's the head of the Interfaith Alliance, was on last night. And he said something that I had not heard from a religious leader, and I should not have been surprised to hear from him or Reverend Barry Lynn. He said that, and he was talking about the Baptist minister who a week ago, Rick Santorum was at this church, have you guys heard about this? And basically said that if you don't believe in their God, get out. Yeah. That's hard to hear. It's hard to see a potential presidential nominee stand up and support that. But what he said was that Christians have had their way so long that they have not had to play by the same rules as everyone else. And now that they are being forced to play by the same rules because some Christians are forcing them to, as well as the rest of us who are now standing up and demanding it, demanding equality, they see it as oppression. And he said that those religious churches, leaders, and groups are someday going to owe the rest of us an apology.
Okay, so that was the reason why we really have a need to get together. I'm a little nervous today. I haven't been in the studio for over 6 months live, so this is like learning all over again. Next, I would like you to listen to California's Congressman Peter Stark on March 24th welcoming the Reason Rally. And the reason is he is the only professed atheist in Congress and considered pretty brave to come out like that. So let's listen to what he has to say.
Hi, it's great to join you in your Reason Rally today. I'm Congressman Pete Stark, and I represent the East Bay in the San Francisco area of California. And as many of you know, I'm considered the highest ranking politician in the country who does not believe in a supreme being. When I made this fact known about 5 years ago, people said it would be political suicide. Hardly. I received over 5,000 emails and contacts from around the world. Almost all of them were supportive and said it was a courageous act. It wasn't courageous, I just said what I believed. About 500 of them didn't agree with me, and they felt that I needed religion in my life, and they offered to pray for me. Never have I been criticized so nicely in my political life. I represent perhaps the most religiously diverse district in the country, in the East Bay of San Francisco, and my constituents, however, are concerned about all the other things that we need to do, about jobs, about the environment, about education for our children. These are the important things that are troubling them, not whether they go to the temple or the mosque or the church. That isn't on their minds. A public servant doesn't need to believe in God or any other religious character to do an efficient job to bring about changes in the world that are necessary. I've noticed that, ironically, the more a member of Congress talks about religion, the less they do to help people. And so many bad things are done in the name of religion, like going to war, which we'd all like to end. And so I hope that you have today, that you enjoy celebrating Reason. We've got a lot of work to do to maintain the separation of church and state. And I'm pleased to be with you to encourage you to continue your work, as we will all continue to work toward getting Congress to be more constitutional and a true democracy. Thanks for being here today.
Okay, that was Congressman Peter Stark from California. Lastly, I did not want you to miss the heartfelt speech spoken by Adam Savage of the Mythbusters. You can get the full speech on YouTube, but this is an excerpt, and listen to what he has to say. He says a lot about science also, so let's listen. Hold on 1 second.
What a freaking crowd. I love this. Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for having me here. I have been racking my brain for the past few weeks trying to think of ways to talk about reason and being reasonable. It turns out it's not a simple subject. I am a very non-confrontational person. I am most of the time the very definition of a reasonable man. I don't like telling people things they don't want to hear. I want people to get along. I want people to like me. I want to find good things in people. I want to understand viewpoints that differ from mine. I want my tombstone to say, he was nice to work with. I have children. I want to raise them in a world they can add value to that has value to them. I want for them to feel entitled only to working hard at doing what they love in order to be excellent at it and to share their lives and the rewards with those that they love. Of course, I think this is all anyone wants for their children or themselves.
I try and inculcate them with a sense of logic about the world, which means most of the time I'm pointing out things to them that are absurd and ridiculous as a counterpoint. And right now, there is plenty to point to. I console myself, however, with the thought that for anyone truly paying attention, for at least the last 300 years, the world has always been chock full of absurd contradictions and has always seemed to be going downhill and fast. I console myself with the remarkable advances in the sciences, I play a scientist on TV. I am in awe of those that do it for real. Everything that we have that makes our lives possible exists because human beings have tested the things they found in their surroundings, made predictions based on those tests, and then improved upon them. This, the human capacity to make sense of the world, is reason. Here are some other things that have been tested and proven. I'm going to call them facts. E equals mc squared. Force equals mass times acceleration. The Earth is not the center of the universe. Man landed on the moon in 1969 and a few times thereafter. The Earth is spherical, but not precisely round. It is officially slightly pear-shaped. Human industry is causing a significant rise in the Earth's overall temperature. The Earth is over 4 billion years old. Evolution is literally a fact of life. Now, here are some of my beliefs that are true to me. You cannot teach kids about sex by telling them not to have it. I believe that making drugs illegal is stupid and damaging to us as a people. I believe that if we take care of our surroundings, they will take care of us. I believe that people have an inalienable right to choose what to do with their own bodies. I believe that in a community, it is our duty that we should take care of each other in times of need. I believe that if you tell people the truth and let them make decisions based on that, much of the time they'll make pretty good decisions, but not always. I believe that that which is detestable to you, you should not do to another. I believe that while not all people are essentially good, most are trying. I believe that rules do not make us moral. Loving each other makes us moral. And finally, I have concluded through careful empirical analysis and much thought that somebody is looking out for me, keeping track of what I think about things, forgiving me when I do less than I ought, giving me strength to shoot for more than I think I'm capable of. I believe they know everything that I do and think, and they still love me. And I've concluded after careful consideration that this person keeping score is me.
Okay, I just couldn't let you miss that. It was just so exciting at the Reason Rally. And now I want to talk about today's program. And just let me make it clear that the reason I chose to talk about Peace Pilgrim is because that's exactly what secularists are about. They're about peace. They're about separation of church and state. It's the only kind of government you need. You can have to have peace. That doesn't mean you're a non-theist, but you have to have a secular government, separation of church and state. And it just seemed only right to talk about Peace Pilgrim, especially since she was raised that way as a secularist. And though she speaks about God, she definitely believes in no particular religious doctrine. Don't forget, you can call 518-828-0290 with any comments for this show, or email feedback@wgxc.org or atrevita45@verizon.net. Now, in February, I went to the Unitarian Universalist Church in Kingston, New York, to see if there were any secularists there who might have been interested in going to the Reason Rally. And it just so happened that Pat LaManna, a self-proclaimed advocate for Peace Pilgrim, was giving a presentation on Peace Pilgrim's life and also played some of her music. To believers who always say you need God in your life to be moral, the story of Peace Pilgrim, who was raised without religious doctrine, put that argument to rest. Before I have Pat introduce herself, I would like to give a brief overview of who Peace Pilgrim was. She was born in Egg Harbor City, New Jersey, in 1908, and named Mildred Lizette Norman Ryder. And there is a website dedicated to Peace Pilgrim called Friends of Peace Pilgrim, which is a not-for-profit organization. And her story has been written by Marta Daniels, and it is in 7 languages. She was of German heritage and raised on a poultry farm. Her parents taught her to be a free thinker, to think with reason and logic, and there was no religious training and no church, only encouragement and education, especially of the natural world. In 1938, while walking in the woods, she had a spiritual enlightenment and knew she would spend her life from then on being of service to other human beings and spreading peace. And before I end this show, I want to make sure I tell everyone some of the significant statues throughout the world and celebrations about Peace Pilgrim. So let's take a break. And I'd like to play Stories, Pat's song, from her CD, Full Circle. Hold on 1 second.
Long, long ago and far, far away, a man took a bite of an apple, they say. He was living in Eden, a beautiful life, till he was corrupted by his evil wife. And with that all humanity fell. Oh, the stories we tell. Myths and legends and lies. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. Long, long ago and far, far away, we were slaves unto Pharaoh in Egypt, they say. But the Lord brought us forth with his outstretched hand and led us through desert into Canaan land, which he gave us forever to dwell. Oh, the stories we tell. Myths and legends and lies. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. Long, long ago and far, far away, a virgin gave birth to a baby, they say. He was nailed to the cross so that we'll never die, and all who believe straight to heaven will fly, and the rest will be cast into hell. Oh, the stories we tell. Myths and legends and lies. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. Long, long ago and far, far away, Allah appeared to Mohammed, they say. The words that he spoke became the Quran. Now they must be the law of each true Muslim land to protect us from the infidel. Oh, the stories we tell. Myths and legends and lies. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. We tell ourselves stories and then we believe them. And millions of innocents die. Long, long ago and far, far away, a pinpoint of matter exploded, they say. It formed gaseous clouds and comets and stars and all manner of life on this planet of ours, and perhaps on some others as well. We need new stories to tell. I wonder how long it will take. Can we sit down together and talk with each other? For all the dear innocents' sake, can we sit down together and talk with each other? For all the dear innocents' sake.
Okay. That was a really beautiful song, Pat.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I want to thank you for coming to WGXC for this interview. And maybe you can start by giving our listeners a synopsis of your background and how you became involved with the story of Peace Pilgrim.
Okay, well, it's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I was actually what's known as a red diaper baby. My parents were card-carrying members of the Communist Party. They were also Jewish culturally. So I was raised to believe that I was Jewish by race, as it were, ethnic background, but basically non-religious, atheist by choice. I grew up being socially active and was always involved in peace activities and so on. And it really wasn't until I was an adult, and maybe the last 15 or so years, I went to a peace, what was it called? Kind of peace celebration in Armenia, New York, where the Peace Prayer Society, World Peace Prayer Society it's called, has its headquarters. So they would have this big peace fair every year, and I picked up a little blue pamphlet called Steps Toward Inner Peace by Peace Pilgrim. I had never heard of her before, but I read this, and I was very intrigued by her life and her teachings, so I learned more about her. I wound up writing a song about her, which I will sing shortly. In 2003, early 2003, it looked like we were going to be going to war with Iraq. And as I'm sure you and your listeners know, millions of people around the world protested that and tried to prevent it. And one of the things that happened is in Poughkeepsie, which is where I'm from, a peace vigil was started every Saturday between 12 noon and 2 p.m. at a very busy intersection in front of the main malls where everybody goes shopping on Saturdays. So we would stand there holding signs. Of course, the war in Iraq did start, but the peace vigil continued. I would go when I was free on Saturdays, and Pete Seeger often showed up. And he could never wait until 2 o'clock when we would stop our vigil and stand around a peace pole that we had planted and sing peace songs. And so we always enjoyed that part of the vigil the most. And one of the songs I sang was the song I had written about Peace Pilgrim. And Pete sort of remembered having heard of her but had never met her in her lifetime, which we haven't really discussed her lifetime, but she died in 1981. She walked back and forth across the United States for roughly 28 years, close to it, made many trips walking, wearing a simple blue tunic that said Peace Pilgrim on it so that people would come and ask her about herself. She carried nothing. She had pockets in her tunic that had a toothbrush, a comb, lots of copies of her little pamphlet, Steps Toward Inner Peace, which were mimeographed at the time, any mail that she was in the process of answering or reading. And that was all she carried. If people offered her money, she would refuse. If they offered her food, she would take it. If they offered her a bed, she would take it. If not, she would go without food, without a bed, and just walk or maybe sleep by the side of the road.
Yes, I read that.
Mm-hmm. So, I told Pete all of this. I sang him my song, and which at the time had four verses. And he said, well, you know, you could add a fifth verse to that song. You could add a verse about how, even though Peace Pilgrim died a long time ago, she's still with us at this peace vigil.
That's right. And she's on WGXC, too.
And now she is. and in a number of other places that I think Atrevita is going to talk about later. But so I did, of course, when Pete Seeger suggests you do something to your song, you do it. And he suggested a couple of other changes, too. So rather than play the recorded version of my song, which is on my album, Full Circle, but it's lacking that last verse that Pete suggested I write, and it also is a little bit slightly different from the way I originally wrote it, again, with Pete's suggestions. So I was going to sing my song about Peace Pilgrim.
Let's do that now.
Okay. And the last verse, again, is the one that Pete suggested that I write. So this is now a co-write with Pete Seeger.
Good.
Her name was Peace Pilgrim. Her age was unknown.
She carried no money and she had no home. She walked our land for 28 years to show us we can overcome our hatred and our fears. She said, I will walk until I'm given shelter. I will fast until I'm given bread. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. Her message was simple. We've heard it all before. We cannot learn peace while we're waging war. Good will conquer evil. Truth will conquer lies. Love will conquer hatred if only we will try. She said, I will walk until I'm given shelter. I will fast until I'm given bread. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. She carried in her pockets everything she owned. Some nights she slept on pillows and some nights she slept on stones. One day out on the highway, she shed her robe of clay. But the message that she carried still lives on in us today. She said, I will walk until I'm given shelter. I will fast until I'm given bread. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. The place to begin is deep within yourself. Then you can show the way to someone else. When enough of us have learned to live in harmony, the old ways will crumble and our love will set us free. She said, I will walk until I'm given shelter. I will fast until I'm given bread. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. As we stand here on this corner, in sun and rain and snow, we remember Peace Pilgrim and her words of long ago. Though her spirit flew to freedom in 1981, she's standing here among us as our prayers for peace are sung. She said, I will walk until I'm given shelter. I will fast until I'm given bread. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. I will remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. I like that.
I do want to say that a lot of the words in the song are taken directly from Peace Pilgrim. And somebody once said to me, oh, I should change that mankind, that word mankind, because that's not politically correct. I should change it to humankind or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, her words were, that's I will right. remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace. That's how they spoke in the 1950s mm-hmm. when she started walking. And so I didn't want to change it.
Sure. You don't want to alter what she was, you know, speaking and mm-hmm. saying. Mm-hmm. So, you also mentioned, you told me about the 102nd anniversary in 2010 that you went to in Egg Harbor City, mm-hmm. Where she was born. And she also still has a sister living in her 90s,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's an interesting story because as Peace Pilgrim walked the country, she never told her real name. She always told people her name was Peace Pilgrim. When they asked her her age, she said, it's irrelevant. I feel like I'm ageless. If they asked where she grew up, she said, well, I grew up in a beautiful place in the country on a farm, but never told anyone where. One day, a little boy was playing in the cemetery at Egg Harbor City, and went home. And his mother was one of the few people in Egg Harbor City who actually had heard of Peace Pilgrim. And he said, "Mommy, Peace Pilgrim's grave is in the cemetery over there." And this woman, her name was Barbara Reynolds, and she was very surprised to hear that. And she wondered why in the world would Peace Pilgrim be buried in Egg Harbor City, which led her on her own pilgrimage to find out the reason for that. And she did indeed discover that this woman had been born Mildred, and that her sister, whose name was Helene Young, was still living in Egg Harbor City. So she made contact with her. And in the next few years, they got the town to build a Peace Pilgrim park with a statue of Peace Pilgrim, and just a very lovely park right next to the city hall. And they did that just in time for her 100th anniversary, or anniversary of her birth, which was in 2008. And so they celebrated that, and then they made it into an annual event. And in 2010, because I sent my song, Peace Pilgrim, to the website, and they learned about me that way, they invited me to come and sing at their celebration, which was a very, very thrilling thing for me. I was hosted by her wonderful sister, Helene Young, who's well into her 90s now and still active, and saw the place where she was buried, saw Peace Pilgrim Park, and had a chance to sing my song and other songs to the people there, and to see that her little town is truly honoring this woman who has contributed so much. And I hope that as more people learn about her, her ideas will continue to spread and help more people.
Yeah, let me tell you, when I see her picture and they say she was small like me, she was taller. She was 5'2". Oh,
okay.
With her white hair, you know, I feel like maybe I should start following some of her advice. I try every now and then. Some of it, I'd never be a peace pilgrim, though. It also was saying that I was looking for the name. Of course, every time I look for something, a husband and wife who donated their house to the not-for-profit, Anne Rush?
Yes. I forget the husband's name. But yes, they started Friends of Peace Pilgrim. This was shortly after her death. And
that was in California, they donated the house.
Since then, the headquarters have moved from one place to another. And now there's a man by the name of Bruce Nichols who was on the board of Friends of Peace Pilgrim.
Okay.
And most information goes through him. Most correspondence is sent to him. Peacepilgrim.org, if you go to that website, you can see video of her. You can hear her speak and learn all about her biography and hear her stories, and also learn something about how she's touched the lives of many people, even after death, because so many people who have read her little pamphlet have been moved and have done their own things in their own way, not necessarily taking a pilgrimage, but there are many things
and
that all of us
that.
Can do.
She says that it doesn't have to be a walking pilgrimage, that you find your own way of spreading that, you know, that message of peace.
Right.
There were some wonderful things which I'd like to mention before we play some more. But first, why don't you play I Am?
Oh, okay.
And then I'll mention all of the amazing documentaries and things that, you know, were attributed to Peace Pilgrim. So
Don't turn on the mic yet. I just want to tune up.
Okay. All right.
This was Peace Pilgrim's answer to the question of what is God, which is a question that she asked herself for a long time. I am not lonesome nor apart, that you must think low there. I am the all emerged in all. Behold me everywhere. I am the morning zephyr soft, a-skipping o'er the lea. I am the music of the brook that flows unto the sea. I am the kisses of the sun. I am the tears of rain. I am the welcome breath of spring that brings new life again. I am the sprouting of a seed.
the budding of a flower. I am the beauty that you see unfolding every hour. I am the singing of the birds, the rustling of the leaves. I am the holy force of life in everything that breathes. I am the thrill of harmony you feel but cannot tell. I am the firm unchanging law that worketh all things well. I am the light that never fails, the power that never dies. I am the still small voice within that bids the soul arise. I am the fruit of highest thought. I am the iron rod that strengthens and supports the whole. I am what men call God.
That says it all, right? It's very, very, very nice. Now, I did want to mention for people out there, you can find this on her website, on the Peace Pilgrim website. Oh, and now I see it. Anne and John Rush, 1981, who started it.
Yeah, I think they're both deceased now.
I see. Well, first, there was a documentary. The first documentary was called Spirit of Peace. And in 1997, and then it's a 71-minute video, and then there was a second documentary, An American Sage, and that was a 60-minute documentary in 2000 entitled Peace Pilgrim, An American Sage Who Walked Her Talk. And I really want to see this because it says this film contains extraordinary television footage from Peace Pilgrim's early pilgrimages in the 50s and early 60s.
And it's all available online. You can stream it directly from your computer.
Oh, that's really cool. I really will do that. So you can get to see that. And then they are right now currently under development a Peace Pilgrim movie.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yes. It has a script has been produced. And they're working to make the necessary connections, and in the near future, they expect that to be. Now, on top of all of that, she has her pamphlet, Steps Toward Inner Peace pamphlet. The Friends continue to reprint this Peace Pilgrim Steps Toward Inner Peace. And today, over 1.5 million copies of Steps are now in print in English. And it has been translated into 25 languages, including Russian, in which over 30,000 copies have been printed and distributed, and a Peace Pilgrim Center in Moscow has been established. Mm-hmm. I thought that was amazing, okay? They've even found pamphlets showing up in African villages, in the shadow of the pyramids, in the jungles of Thailand, at a Bedouin inn, in the ancient ruins of Central America, in an Ashramic library in the Himalayas, and in China. Then she has the Steps Prison Project, and the pamphlet was used as an important source of inspiration for prisoners. And the Human Kindness Foundation sends a copy of the Steps to all prisoners. Now, it is reported that there is a near 100% non-recidivism rate for all prisoners who have participated in a program or come in contact with the Steps pamphlet.
Wow.
Then there's the Legal Mediation Project, which is used to spread her a message when you need to mediate things. And her golden rule of resolution is, have it be your purpose to resolve the dispute rather than to gain an advantage. So that's what's emphasized. Then there is a Peace Pilgrim statue in Costa Rica in 2000, a life-size bronze statue of Peace Pilgrim created by sculptor Fernando Calvo, was dedicated at the United Nations University of Peace in Colon, Costa Rica. And let me see. The University of Peace was founded in 1980. Peace Pilgrim statue in Egg Harbor, New Jersey. or is that Egg Harbor City?
Egg Harbor City.
Yes.
It's in that little Peace Pilgrim Park that was established. Yeah.
And that was created in ceramic by New Jersey artist Sally McInerney. And her awards, she was posthumously awarded the Sherborne, Massachusetts-based Peace Abbey's Courage of Conscience Award in 1992, described as the wandering mendicant and peace activist. And she was awarded the honor for her unprecedented 28-year trip across America. Nominations in the spring of 81, Peace Pilgrim was recommended for nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. However, it couldn't be awarded posthumously. Then in 2003, she was nominated for the National Women's Hall of Fame. And she has also been entered in the Encyclopedia of Notable American Women, Volume 5, published by Harvard University. And in 2000, the Dalai Lama made a comment about her to sum up the impact of her life in the documentary Peace Pilgrim and American Sage. Mm-hmm. And he made the motivation and activities are effective methods. Her commitment to propagate peace through actions, the peace talk, without walk, without seeking money or fame is wonderful. We need such determined people everywhere, irrespective of culture, race, religion. It doesn't matter. We are all brothers and sisters. Peace Pilgrim is a real peacemaker. So you can find all of this at the Friends of Peace Pilgrim on the website. And I really wanted to spread this because, I mean, 30 years ago, we have a generation now that needs to be she needs to be revisited because.
Oh, certainly. And yes. So many people still have not heard of her who, when I do inform them, they, like yourself, they say, oh, you know, I wish I had known about her before. This is so amazing, which was my experience also when I first heard of her. So what I do, one of the things that I do is go to Unitarian Universalist congregations, or I've done this at a friend's meeting house also, any place. And if you have any listeners who are interested, I dress up in a tunic similar to the one that she wore. I sing her songs. I talk about her and try to spread the word about her that way.
It's phenomenal because I cannot imagine. I sometimes want to walk the 9 miles from Cairo to Catskill, but I'm too afraid. Afraid that if I walk alone, I might see a bear, I might see a, mm-hmm. And she just went off on her own. That it's really phenomenal.
Her little pamphlet, and more so in her book, which is longer, it's what it mostly is a compilation of all of the lectures and presentations that she gave throughout her life. And that also, the whole book is available online, but she tells some amazing stories and pretty near misses. Brushes with death that she had and situations that she got into and how she got out of them was really quite remarkable and admirable.
Now, you were telling me, let's see, what song, do you want to play it or would you like to play it live, The Beagle?
Oh.
That one, or would you rather...
Well, yeah, we could do that.
Well, what would you like to do? I would like, you know.
Well, I just want to, for a minute, do a little shameless self-promotion and let people
know
that if they're interested in anything more about what I've written about or done with Peace Pilgrim, you can email me at P for Pat, A T for Thomas, L A, at hvforvictory.rr.com. You can go to my MySpace page, myspace.com/ P-A-T-L-A, Pat Law.
You also have a blog page, which you...
I do have a blog,
You forgot all about it. It was very interesting. I went and went to it.
All of the lyrics to my songs, that's the main reason that I started it. It's, I believe it's patlamana.blogspot.com.
You were saying you... sometimes go to Saugerties to, what was it, that place?
Oh,
that you
well,
to?
I places that I've performed include the John Street Jam in Saugerties, which is an invitational concert that takes place on the second Saturday of the month.
Sounds really nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not too far from me. I should try it. And then you also have been at the Beacon Sloop Club.
Yeah, the
right?
Beacon Sloop Club has three big festivals a year. They have a strawberry festival in June, a corn festival in August, and a pumpkin festival in October. And I've played at the corn festival and the pumpkin festival. And then they also do have a First Friday song swap, which is a lot of fun. Anyone is just welcome to come. If they're within hearing of this station, Beacon would be a bit of a hike for them. But people come from New Jersey, So, you know, if you wanted to come down to the Beacon Sloop Club, it's right on the water at the Beacon train station. Pete Seeger sometimes is there, although lately not as often as he used to be.
But he's still, you know, active, but not so that active.
Right. He's still active, he limits in terms of performing, mm-hmm. But he's slowing down some. But he's going on 93, so he has the right.
Should I, Tom, could you play... what's the name of that song?
The song is The Good Ship Beagle, and it's Beagle? Just sort of how I feel about evolution.
Okay, great. Let's listen to this. I want to hear it.
Oh, take me sailing on the good ship, HMS Beagle. Show me the sea from whence I came. And if I'm sister to an ape or cousin to an eagle, that's a legacy that I'd be proud to claim. Like most of you, I was born stark naked and railing at a world I didn't choose. Like most mammals, I thought it best to dine at my mother's breast. That's why I'm befuddled and bemused that there are folks who still just can't accept it, that we're all kin to the lizard, ant, and whale. When we've got organs, blood, and bones, muscles, nerves, and chromosomes, and in the womb we even had a tail. So take me sailing ship, HMS Beagle. Show me the sea from whence I came. And if I'm sister to an ape or cousin to an eagle, that's a legacy that I'd be proud to claim. I've heard that long, long ago and far away, this old universe got started with a bang. As atoms hurtled through the sky, planets formed, and you and I showed up the other day and joined the gang. It's a story I'll be telling to my grandkids. There could be molecules of Socrates in me, tumbling down across the ages into rocks and trees and sages, recycling for all eternity. So take me sailing on the spaceship, telescope Hubble. Show me the stars from whence I came. And if you say I'm just a speck of discarded cosmic rubble, that's a legacy that I'd be proud to claim. Now in my skin, it sometimes feels quite lonesome, and I'm often scared that you might do me harm. But from an atom's point of view, there is no me, there is no you, just a whirling blur of energy and form. It's all about the process, not the product. That's why I'm hopeful that someday we'll resolve to end all fighting, hate, and war. We don't need them anymore. Can we all just get together and evolve? Take me sailing on the good ship, HMS Beagle. Show me the sea from whence I came. And if I'm sister to an ape or cousin to an eagle, that's a legacy that I'd be proud to claim. Oh, that's a legacy that I'd be proud to claim.
All right. Very nice.
Thank you.
So we were talking while the song was playing, and I noticed that you also do things with the Camp Woodland. right?
Well, when I was a kid, I went to a camp by the name of Camp Woodland, which actually had some fame. It was basically a left-wing summer camp that inculcated morality without religion, really. The attitude of people should share, you know, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. It was one of the few integrated camps in a time when, this is, we're talking the 50s, and the camp started in 1939. It was integrated from the beginning. Very unusual. It was located in Phoenicia, New York. And another thing that it did was collect the folklore of the Catskill Mountains and really made a very important contribution to collecting that folklore. Herbert Haufrecht and Norman Kasdan, who were counselors there, wrote a book called Folk Songs of the Catskills, which is still being used today by many people. So it's very important. And Pete Seeger came every year and would sing for us. Not only Pete, but a lot of, you know, very fine singers and musicians would come and spend a few days as kind of artists in residence. So it was a wonderful, wonderful camp. Even though it closed in 1962, there are many alumni who still feel very strongly about it. And so this summer there's going to be a reunion.
Oh, all right.
And the archives of the director, Norman Studer, are housed at SUNY Albany. And so it's going to be a two-day reunion on July 14th. There's going to be workshops and presentations at SUNY Albany so that the alumni have a chance to go through the archives and reminisce about the camp. And then the second day, we're going to be in Phoenicia, which is where the camp was, and we're going to have a little folk festival of the Catskills, which is one of the things that we had every year, where we invited the community. And it was interesting because with the sort of communist tinge that the camp had, one would think that the community would be very fearful of the camp in the 40s and 50s. But in fact, they were, the relations between the community and the camp were very close, because we went out and we wanted to hear their songs, and we invited them to the camp to sing their songs and to call square dances and to teach us about their folklore and their crafts. And so we had a wonderful relationship with the community. And to this day, they remember us.
Right. And we were saying earlier something about Pete Seeger going around and singing to the, thinking that it's harmless to have him being there, right? But he never underestimate how you make children's eyes open up and remember all those.
Right. Well, if you see the documentary, The Power of Song, which is a documentary about Pete that's been aired on public television a few times, it does say that he was blacklisted because of his left-leaning proclivities. So he was not. There was a period of time when he couldn't be on TV, was not performing in the major halls, mm-hmm. and so on. And that was when, to make money, he would go to camps, schools, colleges. And, you'd think that the powers that be would be very terrified by the fact that Pete was bringing up a whole generation of
kids. They did us a favor.
They did us all a favor.
That's right.
And to this day, Pete is singing with Beacon school children, and he just won a Grammy in the category of children's CDs for a CD that he just made with kids from Beacon.
Now, we were talking also about the Occupy Wall Street movement, which you were saying that you were part of the Occupy Poughkeepsie movement.
You were doing some,
you know, folks, if you go on YouTube and you put Pat LaManna's name in there, you will see some of her songs.
You have to spell it right, though. It's
LaManna together.
Right.
And she has a song there called Mike Check. If you remember Occupy Wall Street, they had to keep repeating what someone said in order to have it heard across crowds of people. And I was listening to that song also. And we're going to now have a spring 99, what is it, percent spring training now
spring
for Occupy.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm sure I'm going to somehow see you in one of these things. But I want you to, and I really would like to, what is the name of this song this is your newest song, right?
This is a very recent song, and it just sort of came to me out of the blue before I knew anything about that I was going to be on this radio show or anything, but I guess I have been kind of thinking about my religious proclivities, which, by the way, I am religious. I'm a Unitarian Universalist. But if you don't know about that religion, it's very different from other religions. It has no dogma. And anyway, this song is called If I Believed in God. And I guess, I mean, I shouldn't even tell you what the message is. You'll probably pick it up yourself. But it's sort of like, you know, you don't have to believe in God to be good is what it comes down to.
Good without God. You can
there
be.
You go.
That's
okay.
A book, by the way. So why don't we have you sing this?
What would I do? I'd take my money, give it to the poor. If I believed in God, I'd sing in praise of each starry night, all my sunlit days. I will live as if I believed in God. I will live. I'd take good care of this body he fashioned for me to wear. If I believed in God, I would not judge. I'd meet everybody with trust and love. I will live as if I believed. I don't believe in hell, nor that anyone can tell me how to be in this world, what to think, or whom to love. If I believed in God, my life would be a never-ending prayer for peace. If I believed in my joy would fill the seven seas and echo through the hills. I will live as if I believed in God. I will live as I believe. I will live as if I believe.
Very nice. Listen, I really want to thank you for making my first live show in all these months. Just absolutely. So it was just great, especially even for the holiday week that we have here. It was just a perfect theme. And I hope everyone enjoyed it. And remember, if you have any questions or you want to make a comment, you can always email feedback@wgxc.org or atrevita45@verizon.net. Or tweet me at Atrevida Forever.
Maybe you should spell Atrevida.
Oh, well, AtrevidaForever is Atrevida Forever. And do come back. I'm on the second Tuesday of every month. So look for me the second Tuesday in May at 2 p.m. Okay? So let me say goodbye. See you next time.